our hearts through digital and through physical presence here for us few. May they all be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, for you alone are our rock. You alone are our salvation. So the last week, Do we keep going, Vic? There we go. Okay. The last week has certainly seen a lot of pauses, a lot of interruptions, mostly unwelcome ones, mostly interruptions that we did not choose, that we do not like, and that we cannot ignore. We cannot continue our lives as usual. Schools and factories have been closed indefinitely. Hospitals, nursing homes, group homes, and even prisons are in lockdown mode and closed to all visitors, with family members anxious about the mental health of their loved ones. Parents wonder, how will they care for their children during school hours? We can't enjoy some of our favorite leisure activities. We can't go to the library. We can't go to the rec center. We can't go to the pool. We can't go to the arena. We can't go to theaters, even, as if 100 years ago that would have been unthinkable anyway. But all these things we can't do. Recitals are closed. Rehearsals are canceled. Restaurants are limited to preparing takeout meals only. Stores are closed. Jobs are being lost as employees are laid off. Businesses that had little financial reserve may go bankrupt. People who need routine and structure in their lives are going to have a lot less of it unless they create new structures for themselves. Seasonal foreign workers don't know whether they'll be able to go home or come back. I guess now there's some suggestion I think I saw this morning that they will be able to come when they're expected to, because if not, farmers won't be able to produce and harvest their crops. Shoppers wonder whether they'll be able to get the food that their families need, so they're tending to hoard whatever they can find. Food banks are closing. Social distancing and a feeling of isolation kind of attack everyone's mental health and may trigger relapses or even worse among people who struggle and with substance abuses and are recovering from addictions. All of this together might trigger an economic recession and further job losses down the road. Funeral homes limit the size of family gatherings just to observe the death of a loved one. It's likely that some of us may get infected with this virus. It's possible that some of us may not even survive. Churches, whose primary task is to worship the Lord, are not physically gathering to do that together. Is that enough bad news? I think so. Well, here's one more bad thing. Nobody knows how long this is going to last, and that makes it feel even worse. Many of us are directly affected by at least one of these things, and even the few of us who are not directly affected by them will certainly be affected indirectly. We will all have less opportunity to nurture face-to-face relationships. Doctors, nurses, and truck drivers will probably be working extra time, extra hours. All of us have seen empty store shelves, or at least heard reports of them. Some of us have gotten enough text messages that fraudulently offer free face masks for an outrageous delivery fee. There's a word, a curious word, that occurs 71 times in the Psalms, 3 times in the book of Habakkuk. Hebrew scholars have difficulty defining it clearly, so our Bibles often just leave it in Hebrew, and that word is Selah. It seems to suggest an invitation to shift or to pause or perhaps to accept an interruption. The Amplified Bible explains most instances of Selah in brackets as follows. Pause and think calmly of that, with an exclamation mark. There are too many examples to examine here, but let's look at Psalm 46, verse 11 as an example. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. But the Hebrew text ends this verse not with fortress, but with Selah. Pause and think calmly of that. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. Pause and think calmly of that. What difference would it make if we interrupted whatever crisis or whatever micro rat race we happen to be in at the moment, even if it's COVID-19, and thought calmly of the commander-in-chief of multiple armies being with us? What if we could pause long enough to think of God as a refuge, not just from the weather, not just a street shelter, but as this verse intends, as a fortress, as a militarily impregnable defensive shelter? An example closer to our time might be the Diefenbunker just west of Ottawa. I've never been there, but I've seen pictures of it. It's totally underground, and it was designed to protect our government leaders from nuclear attack. Are we beginning to see the point of Selah? Pause and think calmly of that. So let's wonder together, what difference would it make if we accepted this COVID-19 mandated shift as a voluntary invitation to think calmly of the awesome creator of the universe as our fortress? Of course, Selah has a voluntary element to its interruption, right? And even if we choose to accept Selah's invitation to interrupt our frenzy, the coronavirus interruption is not voluntary. It's enforced, if not by law, then by circumstances. And the only way to evade it would be to move into the mountains with Grizzly Adams. But even that would be an interruption, wouldn't it? Now, if we had to guess what passage of the Bible Canadians are most familiar with, what would we guess? My guess is it would be Psalm 23. It's been said there are no atheists on a sinking ship. In times of crisis, even materially minded people begin to ask spiritual questions. In times of crisis, the spiritual words that we know best come to a focal point in our minds. There is no Selah in Psalm 23, but it wouldn't be out of place if there were. Psalm 23 is such a favorite of suffering people that it's printed on funeral cards almost as often in memory of atheists and secularists as it is in memory of people who followed Jesus. So when I see people carrying these memorial cards with Psalm 23 printed on them, sometimes I want to ask them, do you realize what a load of blessing you're carrying there? What's contained there? Would you allow this to change your life? Many of us have heard or read or spoken, the Lord is my shepherd, so often that it feels normal to us. But is it natural? When we say it, is it a boast? Or is it a statement that we're reluctant to make for whatever reason? What does it really mean to say, the Lord is my shepherd? How much of their shepherd can sheep really understand? Any sheep's quality of life depends a whole lot on what their shepherd is like. There's only fear to be found in a relationship with a shepherd who is selfish or weak or stupid or lazy or violent or poor or any combination of those. So what is the Lord like as a shepherd? Well, for starters, creation says He is awesome. National Geographic says that our universe likely contains more than 100 billion galaxies. And each of those 100 billion galaxies may have more than 100 billion stars, each with however many planets orbiting it. The universe is so vast that even with today's most powerful telescope, planet Earth could not be detected from the nearest of the billion, billion stars. Genesis 1 and 2 and Colossians 1 tells us that this shepherd, the Lord, is the one who created all of that. There's a story that when President Theodore Roosevelt was entertaining foreign visitors at the White House, he liked to take them outside before bed on starry nights. This was before there was pollution and light pollution even. So the stars were like they would be far from here, where greenhouse lights also pollute the sky with light. No smog, no lights. And after they've been standing out there looking at the sky for a while, Mr. Roosevelt would say, "Gentlemen, I believe we are small enough now. Let's go to bed." He knew the value of keeping ourselves in perspective. But this literally awesome creator also invites us humans, even though we are barely specks of material in such an enormous universe, he invites us to be his sheep. Selah. Pause and think calmly of that. On the other hand, this creator of space is also the one who created life forms so complex that scientists today still understand relatively little about them. And they are yet so small that billions of them can exist in a handful of dirt. This creator of great and small is also the one who created us. This shepherd is powerful, and we rightfully belong to him just because he made us. A few moments ago, I asked whether it was natural for us to say, "The Lord is my shepherd." And the answer is, it depends on what we mean by natural. Because even though he did make us, and even though we rightfully belong to him because of that, there is another sense in which, by our default setting, we do not belong to him. At our last physically together worship time 2 weeks ago, we considered the teaching of the Bible in our confession of faith that as the collective human race, we had sold ourselves into slavery by disobeying our loving Creator Shepherd, and how all of our attempts to free ourselves are fruitless. We read 2 weeks ago from Romans 7 about how all of us are consequently slaves to the devil, to sin, to our own selfishness, and how helpless we are to find our way to freedom on our own. Even if we want to, which isn't really that likely. Isaiah 53, verse 6 begins with, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned to his own way." So there's a very real sense in which we do not naturally belong to our Creator Shepherd. It's not just that we have run away. We were born in a condition of running away. Our alienation from God didn't start with us choosing to run away. It's our natural condition. And it causes us, that natural condition causes us to want to keep running away, to keep wanting our own way. And God loves each of us enough to let us make our own choices, even to choose poorly. But what happens to sheep who run away, who have no shepherd to take care of them? Sheep are not particularly wise animals, nor are they fast runners, nor are they effective self-defenders. To people who know sheep, The rest of Psalm 23 explains more of the significance of running away. But briefly, they become an easy meal for predators. They are likely to eat poisonous plants if they find them. They can be irritated to insanity by insect pests. They will have difficulty finding a reliable source of good nourishment and water. That is our default mode. So we can't truly or fully belong to our Creator Shepherd unless something is done about our natural state of rebellion, unless our default mode is somehow reset, something that we ourselves are helpless to do. The rest of Isaiah 53, verse 6, speaks to that. So, thankfully, something has been done. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet, the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. Paul's evaluation of himself, which we read here 2 weeks ago, ended with a question of despair. In verse 24, he wrote, "Oh, what a miserable person I am! Who will rescue me? Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death?" But Paul answered his own question in verse 25. "Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord." Acts 20, verse 28 says that those who belong to God were bought back from that slavery, back from that rebellion, back from that default alienation by the blood of Jesus, the very life of the shepherd. Historically, Mennonites have always understood that even though God made all people, none of us fully belong to him until we come to a place where we are consciously, proactively choosing to be his, to submit to his authority as our shepherd, to appropriate the price of Jesus' life that has already been paid for us. As Jesus told Nicodemus, we must be born again by believing in and obeying the one who has already paid for our return. In the last church I served in Pennsylvania, there was a retired army sergeant who liked to say, "Saying something doesn't make it so. Just saying that the Lord is my shepherd doesn't make it true any more than saying that I have $1 million in the bank makes that true. It seems it would be tragic if we lost sight of that in this pandemic. What it amounts to is basically this: God just wants his kids back. Who is really your shepherd today? Maybe you haven't come back yet. Maybe you did come back, but then you left again or just drifted away. Will you come back today? In this time of social confusion and uncertainty about the future, will you submit to the leadership of the Good Shepherd? Will you exchange the crazy, fickle life of running your own way and fearing the coronavirus for the satisfying adventure of being guided by the Creator of the universe? He has made a way for that to happen for me, for you, for everyone. And if you'd like for Charlene or Kendall or I to show you, please call or text one of us and we would be thrilled to pray with you. Of course, maybe you've been back in God's sheep pen for many years, but are there areas of your life that resist Jesus' authority, that resist acknowledging his ownership as your shepherd? Maybe you've been back for many, many years, your whole life. You've never remembered not being his sheep. Is it still a joy to be his sheep? Is it still a joy to receive his direction? What would it take today, March 22nd, 2020, the second remote worship service we've ever had at North Church? for the Lord to be your shepherd in a deeper, fuller, more complete way today than he has been in the past. Each of us is dealing with different combinations of pain and grief and fear and regret, maybe disappointment. Let's pray silently for a moment and ask the shepherd to show us one next step that he has for each of his sheep, even the next step he has for us as his flock, as North Church. And I'll close. Let's pray. The Lord is my shepherd. How many different ways could we say that, oh God? Teach us to brag on you, our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Show us how to face lies of doubt. The Lord is my shepherd. Help us to remind ourselves of our value in your eyes, God, by saying, the Lord is my shepherd. Help us to remind ourselves of your role in our lives. The Lord is my shepherd. Shepherd us, O God, beyond our wants, beyond our fears, from death into life this week. Amen.